This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
And a very good afternoon to our Radio K Pulpit family on 7 to 9 a.m. If you're watching us via Facebook, we're welcoming you too. I'm Calvin.
And I'm Terry.
And this is Couples of Destiny. We're so excited this afternoon because we have some special guests. They are international. And so we are so proud to have international guests with us. And we're going to give them just an opportunity to introduce themselves. In fact, they've been on the airways for I think it's a couple of weeks. And so you know of them, you've heard their voices, and they are married, and that's why they're on our show because we are Couples of Destiny, and they're such a beautiful couple. And so it is Benjamin and Tess Waka from Kenya. So we just want them just to introduce themselves briefly. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're from Kenya. We are pastors. I would say that we are involved with marriage and we passionate about it. I am a worship leader as well. I enjoy TV more.
Wow. Grows
I love
on
TV,
you.
You know? And apart from that, I'm also a coach. I'm passionate about leadership. I'm just growing myself in that area as well. And media. Yeah. Wow. So basically that's Benjamin.
Wow. Welcome.
Welcome, Benjamin.
Did you forget to say he's a husband?
He forgot that.
And a father.
And a father.
He's learning. New dad.
That's why we need a wife.
They say new dads always have their brains are foggy.
Yeah. You know, we're like, I'm a new mom, wife. But I think it's just a new father's thing. Yeah. Thank you for having us. My name is Tess. I love the Lord. I'm happy to be here. Marriage is of God. It's the most beautiful thing. And we are excited to be in South Africa with our little son. We've been married 6.5 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And
our son is 6 months, Leo, and we're here with him. And we're really looking forward to an amazing conversation with
Wonderful.
The two of you.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, we are going to get stuck into some questions. So I hope you're ready. We're just going to be firing questions. Because there's a community of couples out there that are challenged. And so we need to hear from you guys as well. At the end of the day, they need help, and some of the remedies you used in your marriage could help them. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go over to a short break, and once we return, we're going to get stuck into those questions. And our Cape Pulpit family, we excited to have a precious couple with us. In fact, we've themed this this afternoon, and we've called it Love That Endures. Mm. Because I believe every relationship needs to be an enduring relationship. Many people give up too soon when challenges come, and there are many challenges. As we progress in life, as we go through different cycles, as the industries expand, as there's more pressure, just so much happens. And so there's an expectancy from couples to perform in different areas in their jobs. And so there's pressure, there's constant pressure. And so we want to talk a little bit this afternoon about the enduring love in relationships. And so we want to ask a few questions.
You know, we know the favorite scripture everyone uses about real love in 1 Corinthians. You know, for you as a couple in missions, you know, having to go places and do the work of the ministry for the Lord in every area and facet of your life, what is the one thing that you can encourage couples with today is your strength? You know, with the middle of the third chord that is not easily broken, but what holds you, keeps you sane, if I want to use for the lack of a better word, what keeps you going?
I think I would say many things, but top three or one would be purpose. When there's one direction and it's divine that you're on a divine direction, especially when you're all over and with children and everything. I would say purpose always gets us back. And it's been one of the things in our marriage that because we work together, we minister together, we do a lot of things together, purpose has been one of the things that has brought us back when, you know, what Kevin is saying, life stretches you and things happen. But because there's a divine assignment that you have to do, the two of you, and then you are able, and it gives us strength at times because we see that there's bigger ahead of us. It's not about the two of us or the three of us or our family. It's about the calling that God has put for bringing the two of us together. So I'd say one of them would be purpose for what that would bring us and put us together in the last 6 years.
And I would add on to purpose is There's times when we have probably gotten to a place where we felt like it's a bit stretching us, and it's becoming too much. And the only place that we found refuge was being with each other and being there for each other. I remember we were in South Korea just, I think,
a year ago.
And so in that space, while we were just doing ministry, I told her, I think this is one of the things that keeps us together. If we stopped doing this and just stayed home and just, you know, have a little family and you're just there, then it would have stretched us. It would have stressed us out. And so for every couple, there's that one thing that keeps you together. That's very unique to you. And that thing needs to be gathered because it's going to be what is watering the marriage. So for us, I mean, even when we, apart from marriages, work together, serving God together. And that is what keeps us going, even most of the times when we feel like it's been rough. I mean, we've been through very difficult days. I think since we got married, for about the first 3 years, they weren't easy for us, but we kept on going. We kept on going because we believed that it is God that brought us together. And if we kept on saying that if we get out or if we go our separate ways, we know that we will be
messing with God's thing,
plan, you know, and purpose.
I love that. Purpose is like vision. You have a goal. You know why God brought the two of you together.
Sure.
So it's a beautiful thing. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the foundation scripture, and we spoke about Tree Alive, and we're talking about 1 Corinthians 13, you know, if I dig a little bit deeper into that scripture, and we talk a little about this love being under pressure now, because, you know, interestingly enough, I work for a company that mines diamonds. And if you understand how diamonds are formed, they're formed under tremendous pressure. So it's a beautiful thing, in fact, because something beautiful comes out of it. So if I were to ask a question this afternoon, can you share, if you can share a season when patience or kindness was tested?
I think it's ongoing.
It's an everyday thing.
I think it's ongoing.
I mentioned that the 3 years, 4 years of early marriage weren't easy, because I think that's when you're really becoming one.
And
it's like two very rough surfaces rubbing on each other until it becomes very smooth. And so we've been in those spaces where there was no money. Where we didn't know how to handle each other's personality, where we didn't know how to handle the pressures that were coming on us. Because of that, we've been in places where the bank is coming for the car. We don't have rent. You know, food, we barely can survive. And especially the COVID years then. We've been in those spaces where we didn't have furniture in our house, so we couldn't invite guys to come and sit around with us. So they were constantly asking, why don't you guys just have us? You know, let's chill out. And we're like, you guys cannot come. We'll tell you.
You remember when we used to say, it's our stadium, let's come and evangelize here, because we were so broke at that time that the house, the one we had a house but nothing to put in it. Mm-hmm. And we had just gotten married, and we would joke about, oh, we can go to a prayer stadium, because it was a big room but it doesn't have anything. And yeah. we would just joke about it at that time. But it was, no, we can laugh now, but at that time it was difficult. And I think even for me at that time, for him, with kindness was tested. I'd say patience is, I had, this is the fourth year of my mom not being here. She went to be with the Lord, and the circumstances were not really nice. It was a tragedy just before Christmas. It was an accident. It was terrible. And it shook me. Just as I was very, we were very close. She was my closest spiritual companion, prayed with me, prayed for us, a pillar in our marriage, actually. And I think because I had never experienced losing someone so close, I think it took, by the time, 2 years, by the time I started feeling I want to be nice to him, I would throw tantrums and I would tell him, you know, it was extreme. I remember one time I told him we were fighting and he's trying to be there for me. And I said, you know, I've lost my mom. I'm not afraid to lose my marriage. I've lost and that's harsh and unkind. And he was patient and through grief, yet it was difficult. And God, of course, healed me through that. You know how grief can just take you extreme. And if I didn't have a patient person that would at that time understand, I know she's not being kind, she's just in pain, and he would pray for me instead of seeing this person is, what kind of a minister says that to their husband? They didn't see that, but they were patient, and it was really a season that shook us, and those things you're saying, the fruit of the spirit, were tested.
That's powerful. That is so powerful. Brought back so many similarities to us when you said you had nothing in your home and we started a ministry. You had nothing in our home.
Nothing in our church.
Nothing. It was absolutely nothing.
Everything and was a so, step of faith.
But it was a faith step, you know. And I love that you shared, you know, because it's deeply personal to you that, you know, we cannot be unequally yoked, you know. And when the one is weak, also at the end of the day, the other one will pick his partner up. So that's what makes it so beautiful. At the end of the day, you see, and God, we are human beings. God created us as human beings on this planet with emotion.
These things, they just prove that you're human.
Exactly.
And when most of the times when we look at marriage and we want it to be perfect with no trouble, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because you have to know that you've gotten this person, they're not perfect and things like that, and you want to take care of them. It's like two little children. They both don't know anything, but they have to walk together. They have to be together if they're going to weather the storms and everything that's coming at them.
And you know, the powerful thing for me is I always say we're not allowed to both be down.
Wow.
One at a time.
That's
because
amazing.
One must pull the other.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so if we both feel down, one of us have got to say, I've got to get out of the ship.
Yeah.
I've got to get going. I've got to be the one that's going to pull my partner up now.
Wow.
Something's got to happen.
Wow.
But then you get those couples who are just so stubborn.
They all want to be down.
You know, and because of their pride, they would not give in to their partner or whatever. They're waiting for someone else to make a first move and all of that.
Yeah.
And I know these are the kind of things that listeners out there, I know there's someone out there listening to. You might be in a situation where you feel like you're deep in a deep pit and your spouse is not pulling you out or not doing enough to make you feel valuable or seen, you know, and if you're going to wait on that person all the time, it might not happen. And my encouragement for you today is call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon the Lord. The Lord will answer you. And he will send an angel to come alongside of you. And he will bring your spouse, even if he's so rebellious or whatever, you know, hard-headed. God will speak to him. But if he doesn't listen, it's going to be on him.
Yes.
You know, we all are going to have to give account for what we do. But listen, I know we're going to take a short break and listen to a beautiful song. We'll be right back. That's a wonderful test. And Benjamin, I won't forget your name, Benjamin. you know, we're speaking about love that endures, right? And as a couple, as an individual, how do you see your life, navigating your life? How do you see yourself as a strength in your marriage?
I think it's important to understand for us that, especially even when we're in difficult season, we'd all go to our closet with you know, God and God, because God's our best friend, so he's the common ground. And it's important to understand your relationship with God, because that's a big contributor. It's two people coming together. You know, just created the two of you. And I would say, honestly, our strength for us, because of course we are ministers, is our individual relationships with God, because marriage is amazing and it's everything, but it doesn't come fast. It's our relationship with God first, and then there's marriage. And so for us, that has been something we don't stop building, even when we are married, and we are intentional. So the other person doesn't, I make sure when you're here with God, you're still there. No, we ensure that we walk independently away from being a couple, and make sure he's genuine with God. God was there before I came in his life,
right?
And
right.
The same thing for us. So I would say that is important, and for us, that's our strength. I mean, there are times he's important, but the Lord that was there before him, the Lord that was there when I was single, and that has been one of our strength, to be honest.
Yeah, and I also think that couples need to realize that I need to be okay and well, because I bring me into the marriage. Mm. So I need to take care of me. She needs to take care of herself. And so we don't get so caught up in what we need to do. The kids need to go to school. The rent needs to be paid. And you know, I'm just piling pressure on this person, and we've got to do this, that you forget we need to take care of each other, and I need to take care of myself, because you bring that into the marriage. If I'm not okay and I'm having problems at work, I haven't shared it with her, I'm going to bring some of that here.
Mm.
And she's going to do the same, the stress and the difficulty that she's finding, she's going to bring it home. And so there needs to be that environment of care where you intentionally, you know, there's how you can talk to your husband that you can't talk to the boss.
Right.
You know, there's how, you know, you will help a lady in the you know, at Checkers or something. Sorry to mention names.
You will
help out a lady that it would be very difficult to extend the same kindness to your spouse. And just imagine that they are actually supposed to be the ones who are,
they need more of that.
They need the best.
Yeah. The best version.
Exactly. And there's something that the Bible says, I don't know how much attention we pay into it. Scripture says that you love your enemy.
Yes.
Love your enemy. Love your enemy. I'm not saying your husband is your wife is the enemy, but I'm just saying, if that is how much,
if that's the standard
to love, to grow to the place where I can love you, and I know that you want to bring me down and you want to finish me, how much more should I love somebody that I'm constantly fighting with, constantly having difficult conversation with, different ideas, and sometimes personality. And so we both need to really grow, and making sure that, I like what one person said, and just to come to your question, you said, you know, a partner is growing, the other one is not. One of the counselors that we were speaking with said that at some point marriage is an institution. An institution is a place of learning where we have now come from the place where we love each other. That is cemented. I care about you. You care about me. We are together. We are going to heaven. And so after that, then we begin talking about the place where she needs to grow me and I need to grow her, where we are submitting to each other so that and once we allow grace on that part, then we begin growing together.
Mm-hmm.
We begin making the steps together.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring you into the relationship, and you need to make sure that you're bringing the whole of you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think it speaks of maturity for both husband and wife.
Yeah.
The scripture that pops out to me is where it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, further on it says, I put away childish things. The problem in marriage and even in the church we are childish and not childlike.
Mm.
There's a big difference.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
A major, major difference.
Yeah, sure.
So God wants us to be childlike.
Yes. Mm.
Put away the childish things.
Yes. Mm. Wow.
Being formed in His image and His likeness. And isn't it so when we early in our marriage, we're very childish. We're extremely childish.
Listen, I think all of us.
Extremely
Benjamin
childish.
Benjamin spoke about the don't have the woman at the
supermarket
you will help, and you don't show the same to your wife. When I was childish in our relationship, he used to, you know, he handles a lot of clients on the phone. And then he'd be so nice. Sure, Charlene. Yes, I will be boiling.
I'm like, you don't do that to me.
Oh, really?
I like, so yeah, yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes.
We're not in control of our emotions then. So we become childish at the end of the day.
Mm.
But if you allow God to perform us in our lives and become childlike, you mature. You grow at the end of the day. I got to put away these childish things. Because I want our relationship to grow.
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. There's a scripture I like in Philippians that God is at work both to do and to will.
Mm.
And I think we need to know that it is God at work. We need to let Him work in us.
Yes.
And I think, like she said, sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes our previous part of us still wants to hold on to our...
The old man.
Yes, and it gets us to... I actually believe that God brings marriage to refine us.
Correct.
If you want to be like Christ, get married.
Yeah. Go through the refining fire.
Yeah. We speak about conflict. If I just share something on conflict and maybe a question, how do you repair after conflict in a loving way?
Mm.
How would you repair? What are your tools?
Yeah. Honestly, I think for me, because I was the one that in conflicts, I was the one, you know, he was learning. And the danger of this is sometimes the Bible is very clear that bad company can corrupt good morals.
Yes.
And we think sometimes that can get in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It means if there are areas that I don't want to submit, it's easy to influence him to become like me, even to the negative. And so for conflicts for us, I think right now we've gotten to a place where you seriously need to allow the Holy Spirit, because your flesh cannot refuse. And there are times I would feel like, I gotta speak back. I'm not gonna allow him to talk. And then I feel the Holy Spirit and I struggle. But I think at first we didn't know. We try to do it on our own. Our feelings cannot be settled.
Mm.
And I think for us, conflict wise, I think godly has been that way. And I think sometimes you can say for you, but for me, it's been trying to just allow the Holy Spirit to lead, even when I wanna say and I wanna shout.
Well, I think there's intentionality. For us, she's the better one at handling conflict and how...
I've gotten better. I'm not the one that's better. The Holy Spirit has helped me.
Yeah, but she just... her personality and everything after the conflict, she'd be ready to move on. And so she will make efforts to repair. And it has a lot to do with our background.
Mm.
And you see, for me, we come from a family where we are afraid of stepping into on each other's toes, and we're very careful and things like that. And I'm married to somebody that is not afraid to air out their opinion. So when you say something, you're expecting her to be quiet and to accept it, but she's like, no.
Yeah.
No, that cannot go. And I'm like, how dare you? You know, where do you get the audacity to speak back or to challenge what I'm saying? And we've realized that those differences really play a big role in us coming back together after a fight. I think the good thing with me is I forget very quickly.
That's good.
Like that's tomorrow I can forget that we had a fight yesterday.
Women, we have the time, the date, the details.
We don't. We like elephants, I tell you.
Yeah.
So I think that... for most couples, I won't say probably there's a right tool to do that, but when everything is quiet, when I always say when it's stormy, when it's raining, it's not the time to try and ride the boat. You know, at that point you just have to hold on to safety, let the storm pass. After the storm, when it's calm and the waters are cool, then come down and ask, what did you actually mean when you said this?
True.
And what I say, I heard you say this.
True.
I don't think that's the kind of person that I am, but I want to know exactly what you mean. So when you have that conversation, it will surprise you, the misunderstanding.
Yes.
Yeah, so
apologize quickly, I would say. That works every time. Don't give room to anything. Just apologize very as soon as it helps to...
Good place to start.
Yes.
Is with an apology.
Well, that was awesome. We're going to go over to another break. And then when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more from you to help the couples out there. So we'll see you and hear from you shortly.
Wow, that was so beautiful that you shared their test. You know, I think every couple can learn from this. And listeners, we are so excited to be hearing from this couple today and sharing these powerful nuggets to help you and all of us navigate through life. And you might have something that you want to share with us, or comment on Facebook right now to share with this couple. And also from your own journey, you know, they spoke about how their challenges came when they were first married. And we all speak about that we're not all made in a beautiful basket of marriage. You open up this box and wow, we have everything. You know, I have money, I have intimacy, I have joy, I have abundance. Yes, the word of God says in John 10:10 that Jesus came to bring us this kind of abundant life. And this is what we are working toward. We're pursuing this abundant life. But everything comes at a cost.
It does.
You know, our salvation, our walk with God, our ministries, our families. And I just think about how it could be for you as mission ministries going out there in the world. You know, you have, it seems like you guys have only started out. I don't know if it's something you've done prior to your getting married.
No. Mission, mission filled with traveling, it's in this capacity. No, it happened after marriage.
After marriage?
Yeah.
So you were both born again when you got married?
Yes. And we were serving, but in different capacities.
Okay.
Not to this extent.
What made you decide to become missionaries together? How did that come about?
I think doors opened for us to do that. We both work in the media. So she's a radio presenter. She's been at this for 12 years.
Oh, wow.
She's good on the radio.
Awesome.
Yeah. When we got married, and then the media opened up for me as well. Went into TV and served there for a couple of years. And then we got... It was quite interesting because we were trusting God to set up a radio station, and we wrote to organizations, and then one of them wrote back, and then in the midst of all that, we ended up working for them. So that's how we got
there.
That's
how it started. I would say divine leading, honestly, the steps of a righteous man. If you asked us, we didn't even think that this would, we didn't even have a picture of this.
Yeah,
I think it was just the Lord that that put us into this space that he had the agenda and brought the people. He did not have the people and think, what am I going to do with this two couples?
Yeah.
So I think because of obedience, we fitted right to it, what he had planned. So for us, I'd say we didn't choose it. Honestly, if we were choosing, we'd be comfortable in Kenya and enjoying it.
Yeah, we would all be comfortable sitting in a church looking at the pastor, but we're not having to do any work.
Yeah.
Let them do it all, and we just become pure warmers.
Yes.
But that is not God's ideal for
it's
us.
Not.
You know,
it's
I think
not.
He handpicks us for a time such as this, and he handpicked you and I to do what he needs us to do for him here while on earth. I'm just thinking about when we, in the early stages of our marriage, we now become pastors and we go into church, and then suddenly the kids do something, or my husband have an altercation, and I'm like, don't say this to me now. I've got to go and minister. How can I go and minister with this heavy heart now? How can you say this? So, you know, so I don't know how you guys dealt with that, but we've seen that end. And my husband has been so, I really thank God, he's so patient, you know. And I know there were times when I had, in the beginning, I was so upset, and I'd go to church and I'll just be very quiet and I'll just worship the Lord, you know, and I'll allow the Holy Spirit to heal my heart, you know, during that time, and to keep a straight face, because now you become in leadership, you know. And how do you see it from your perspective, you know, as leaders in missionaries? You have an altercation before you're going into ministry. Tell the listeners.
It's very interesting, and it's just not ministry. I think it's like, you know, there's ordinary fights for marriage, and then now we work together. So that's
just two double.
So those are double. So there's how we've got to know each other and have capacity for each other, because we both operate very differently. The test at home is not the test at work. So that's going to be another conflict.
Right.
You know, it's like we didn't have conflict enough in marriage, so we decided to work together.
Oh. I know.
And so I think one of the things that I really like that she always does is she always says, let's make peace. That does not mean that there's nothing and there's no problem. Is we can fix this very quickly and then go into what we need to do, mm-hmm. and then we will come back to that thing. Mm. And so most of the times, for instance, if I'm mad because she didn't do something in the morning, it's like, okay, fine, I didn't do that. But let's be okay. Are you able to forgive me for that? And I'm sorry that I did that. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm really sorry that I was treating you like this. Mm. So now we're good. We're fine. So we've not dealt with the problem. We've just put it aside. But for the sake of what we need to do, where we need to go, the things that are more important and urgent right now. Mm-hmm. So we put that aside. We just aside. Mm. And then we do what we're supposed to do. And then we're going to come back to it.
But it didn't come easy because I remember I used to be the one. I was like, he's not going to just leave and go do ministry. How can he do that? And he would go. I would be like, I'm not going, and I'll cancel everything. Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm not going to go because from the way I'm not able to separate how I'm feeling from just standing on the altar. And I remember when those things kept coming and coming, and the Holy Spirit will always convict you that if you just allow me, I'll show you how to deal with this. And so I think at some point for me, my ministry life scripture is do not give the enemy a foothold. Because he doesn't need a big, he just needs a small crack. Mm. It just needs that conversation or that sneer in the morning. And so I try as much not to give him a foothold, especially when it's the night before. If it means we have to just go watch a movie for the sake of, we just try to not give him, let him stay outside. Because the moment he comes in, even if it's a hand, he's going to use that. And I think for us, that's what now, of course, it came with a lot of terrible things. But for now, we got to that place. And I think for every person, that not just ministry, is just to ensure that in your marriage, don't give the enemy a foothold. The Bible, someone said that if the enemy knows that you live by your feelings, he's going to feed you with all the feelings. He knows you just need to get angry a little bit. He will orchestrate something and you're just going to get angry. And because he knows you, he just needs to put a little and you blow up.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, initially we didn't know.
We did.
And so the night before our travel, would fight.
Mm. When we were going for missionary work.
The night before our travel, the night before our breakthrough, it used to be, until at some point we
for
got used
years.
To it.
Yes.
And we were telling each other, yeah, you know, there's a flight tomorrow. Yeah. So anything that happens between, it's not us. It has nothing to do with us. Because the timing was so spot on.
It was.
Every time there was a big breakthrough, there was also a big fight.
Mm.
But we grew and we started noticing. I mean, now the warfare now shifted. When we noticed that, it shifted even from us to, things coming from the outside. Like, I remember one time we needed to travel the next day and we were very cautious and alert.
Mm.
And then just out of nowhere, the city council clamped my car. Mm-hmm. And they towed it to the yard and they wanted to keep it over the weekend. Yes. And I was traveling on Friday. That was on
the next
Friday.
Day, actually.
We're traveling the next day.
Wow.
So if we
like
left that car at the county yard, it was going to stay there for a month or something until we get back. And they charge per day.
Yeah, it was.
They are charging, I think they charge 1,000 rands per day.
Yeah, it was
so
going to cost
us. So you calculate that by the number of days you're going to be away. And those kind of things kept on happening completely. And so just to tell couples, watch the timings when there's a fight. Watch the seasons when things come out. Mm. Because somewhere around there, the enemy is just distracting you from something you don't need to notice.
Mm.
And then it's going to just pass right by you.
Mm. And if you accept it, and believe it, you're going to miss it.
Exactly.
You know, we need to be strong in that.
Yeah. I think even the Bible says the opportune time when the enemy left Jesus, waited until another opportune time. Sometimes we feel, because this is past, and then we hold back. You're always on guard for your marriage.
You know, Benjamin and Tess, you've really blessed us. I mean, we'd love to spend more time with you and really glean from, I hear you saying you've only been married for 6 years, but you know, you, many people are, they married for a period of time, but they still don't know each other, you know, and you are working together in the ministry fields. You go home together. Everything is about God. Yeah. It's about you. So, you know, we'd really love to have you back at some opportunity in the near future.
Yes.
And we just want to thank you that you've come to us today. And so we're going to have a short break right now. And when we come back, we're going to ask you just to pray for couples out there, because there are couples struggling. They're going through exactly the same what you went through and what we go through. Just so that God's institution will stand. Thank you. We'll go for a break now. Family, we've been having an awesome, awesome time this afternoon with a beautiful couple. Benjamin and Tess Waka from Kenya, ministers, a beautiful family. They've really encouraged us, and we just had too little time. But what's more important, you're listening to us right now. And I know that you got to be honest with yourself. You're challenged in your marriage. Things are not right. We just spoke about keys during the break right now, and they're gonna pray, and they've shared a lot of keys during this entire 45 minutes that we've been ministering to you. But they're gonna pray with you this afternoon and pray into those areas. So I want you to pray prophetically. You guys are prophetic, and I want you to speak to those relationships and those couples. That God will have His way.
Amen.
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 And Father, thank you for every marriage. Thank you for every husband. I thank you for every man. I speak the life of God, the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of counsel, of might, of understanding, and of the fear of the Lord to come upon them in power and in might, that they will move not in their own intellect and in their own ability, but they will rely on you, who is the source of everything. You who called them and gave them the role to lead, the role to cover their families. I commit them before you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that, God, they will get to know you deeper. They will see you, that you will draw them to yourself, oh God, and they will have the power to respond and to keep on walking with you, to lead families, to be the men, and to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray over every challenge that they may have, be it finances, be it vision, where they do not know. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will hold them like a little child and begin taking steps with them, that when they look back at how far they would have come, they will say, it is the hand of the Lord. It is the Lord working in me. It is nothing of my own. It is God that is fighting my battles for me. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you will strengthen the men. I pray that you will raise the men in families in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will guard and watch over them, protect them from every weapon of the enemy. Scripture says that no weapon that is fashioned against us shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises, we condemn. And that is what we speak over every man, over every husband, over every son, in the mighty name of Jesus, that God, they will grow in you. No weapon, they will not be found of the enemy. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus, you will take away everything that is not of you. You will take away everything that the enemy can use in their lives. And that, God, you will strengthen them. You will build them. You will raise them. Scripture says that a child, as long as he's an heir, does not differ from a slave, but he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that tutors and governors will come. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that there will be growth and maturity to the place where they are able to become sons, they are able to become men, in Jesus' name. So I pray that you strengthen them. I pray in the name of Jesus that you open their eyes, open their spiritual eyes. Let them know the hope to which they've been called, the purposes of God in their lives. Let them be grounded in you, to the glory and to the honor of your name. So we thank you in Jesus' name.
Father,
amen.
We pray.
Amen.
Father, we pray. We speak peace over every marriage that is in a storm. Your word says that we should not be anxious about anything. And at times we cannot help but be anxious about what's happening in our marriages. Mm. But you say that it with thanksgiving, that we should bring our requests unto you. And the peace that surpasses all human understanding. And Father, right now we stand on that word. We speak peace over every marriage that is strenuous, that is struggling. We speak the perfect peace of God. May you, the Prince of Peace, settle in and calm every storm, every kind of storm, financial storms in marriage, emotional storms in marriage, health storms that come in marriage. We pray for the peace that surpasses all human understanding. And to every wife, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be the loudest voice in their lives in the name of Jesus. As the word says, that we might be the weaker vessels, but we know that through the Holy Spirit, we can get so many things done. As your word says, the woman has power with our words to build a home, to destroy a home. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be our best friend in every marriage. We speak that those of us that don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, Lord, we cannot do marriage without the Spirit of God. May you help us. May you help every woman to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and be able to get transformed from the inside out. And Father, we know that there's a lot of warfare on marriages. We know the enemy is not happy to see marriages thriving. We know the enemy wants to see divorces and Christian marriages, but we refuse that in the name of Jesus. And we speak against every spiritual attack on Christian marriages in the church and in the world in general. And we say and we decree and declare that Christian marriages will be the example, that people will look at the marriages in church and say, we want that because the Lord will be in it. And we thank you even for this wonderful program with the wonderful hosts. Your word says as they have refreshed us, God, may they be refreshed in their ministry and in their marriage in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for every part of Cape Pulpit that has allowed this ministry to go on air, Lord. And we pray that it will continue to influence marriages for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 What a wonderful way to close our session today. May your love be deep, your purpose aligned, and your marriage be protected, family, from burnout. This is Couples of Destiny, and Calvin and Terry saying so long.
Bye-bye.
So long to you too, Tess and all Benjamin. Right.
Thank you so much.
Bless you. Have a wonderful time, and we hope to see you again.
Yes, definitely.
All the listeners, we say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.